Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to Islamic Upbringing, the show that offers you guidance on how to educate your children in accordance with Islam. We are here to listen to your questions and difficulties on this subject, and we have expert who will answer them based on the Noble Quran and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. So today in our studio, we have the pleasure to be with Brother Miqdad, Islamic scholar. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Brother, you have been giving us, talking about the concept of ikram in Islam, you know, the giving self-respect. So when you talk about that, giving self-respect to our children in the previous episodes, could you elaborate on how this would impact social interactions and how children communicate and deal with the people around them?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very, very important topic, the tarbiyah that allows a child to build what we call self-respect or self-esteem. Something we've talked about many times before, and related to this to the social atmosphere, the social dimension is very, very important. Just let me introduce this topic. You see, Islam teaches us that we need to live a life where we are part of a society. So in Islam, we don't have this concept of rahbaniyah, where people would go in the mountains, for example, and spend time in isolation.
Right.
Islam looks down upon, and our prophets were not like this. Our prophets, all of them, were part of the society. They would
social.
They would be socially active in order to interact in a positive way with others and be helpful to the society. And this
right.
is something that is a principle that we have in Islam. And therefore, the outlook that we need to have when we do child upbringing, when we train our children, is always to keep in mind that we want our children to be part of the society, but not just passively, but also be actively part of the society. And obviously be a positive member of the society, be a positive part of the society in a way that they can be helpful to the society, they can be a source of guidance, a sort of benefit for the society. So this is something that we have in Islam as a principle, and for all of us, we need to make sure that we live within the society. And this is why so many times previously we've talked about the importance of going to mosque, the importance of taking part in different social activities, in different
right.
sports activities, basically being part of the community, being involved within the community, and encouraging our children to also get involved within the community.
Right.
Now, when we do this, when we're part of the society, you will find that there are many challenges that come. Right. Naturally, being part of the society brings about conflict, brings about dispute. It can bring about different issues and challenges within a social context. And Islam teaches us that the very reason why we have been put in society and the very purpose behind society is exactly to allow you to overcome these challenges and as such grow from them, or
right.
grow in your ability to manifest the beautiful traits of Allah, and grow in your spiritual perfection and your moral perfection. In other words, if I can conclude this, it is through social relationships, through being part of the society, and through overcoming positively the different challenges that come when we're interacting with one another, that somebody is able to grow, is able to acquire those special traits, the human traits, and able to become generous, become patient, become tolerant, be able to be, stand for the truth, stand for justice. All these things are manifested within a social context.
Right. We'll discuss more with you, Brother McDowell, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I am Zainab at your service, and we are with Brother McDowell talking about the society wherein Brother McDowell said that being social is natural. We are bound to be social. We are born to be social. Islam does not advocate the concept of being isolated. So, but when we live in society, many things come up. We have many challenges, and Islam guides us with its beautiful texts and narrations how to overcome these challenges, and how can we adopt that when it comes to Islamic upbringing. Brother McDowell is shedding more light on that.
When we look at children, children that are very young, so toddlers, you find that one of the characteristics of children is to be very selfish.
Okay.
Children want everything for themselves.
For themselves.
Right? They just look at themselves. They don't look at others. If they want, for example, a particular toy or a particular food, for example, it has to be given to them now and has to be given to them immediately. Immediately, right? It's not, I can't wait and I want it now, even though it might be belong to somebody else. It might not be the right time. It might mean that people have to go through a lot of difficulty to get it. Children don't understand the concept of thinking about others, right? Naturally, the human being from the onset is selfish,
right?
And this is a natural trait, and this is how we've been created, right? Because our primary desires of this world are very material at the beginning. Right. It is only when a child then grows up and starts to interact with different people, realizes that, hold on a second, we are different individuals. We all have our needs. And I can't be selfish and want things right now and everybody should be at my service. I have to understand that there are other factors involved in me acquiring what I want. And so therefore, they learn to overcome their selfishness and look at others and be empathetic to others, understand different circumstances.
Right.
Children also enter conflicts because of the selfishness. Children don't like to share, right? Or they enter into conflicts. I want this. If somebody else wants it, it's okay. I want it first. I got there first. They enter into conflicts, and it is up to the parents, and through time and through growth, that they are able then to appreciate differences or appreciate the ability to connect with others in a way that is tolerant, in a way that you look at others first as well. Basically, children don't know how to, or first and foremost are selfish and involved within conflicts because of that. And so when we talk about ikram, when we talk about self-respect, what we're aiming for is that we teach children and we give them skills that they should grow up, and obviously it comes with time, with practice, they should grow up to be able to understand that they're part of a society,
right,
that they cannot get everything that they want whenever they want, that there are other people as well that also have needs, and that we should interact with one another with respect, with tolerance, appreciate differences, not get involved in conflicts, have concepts such as justice, such as patience, such as generosity. All these things are things that are built. And the key, or one of the very important keys in that, is to have enough self-respect for those positive traits to
get really flourished.
Flourished and be inculcated in our children.
Right. We'll discuss more with you, Brother Mikdad, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Brother Mikdad, and we are discussing how do we cultivate that self-respect in children when they are dealing in a society. Brother Mikdad, you said that living in a society in itself has some positive impacts, like children do understand what I need right now for just myself, that selfishness gets faded away when they face society, when they see the differences, when they... And obviously, with the guidance of parents, the right guidance at the right time could help a lot. So what more do we have in the store?
What happens is that when children are able to grow up and they're treated with a lot of tolerance, they're treated with a lot of respect, right? If you have a family, mom, the father and the mother are treating their children in a very tolerant way.
Right.
And through their actions, they're showing that they're able to sacrifice for a child. They're able to show patience. They're able to speak in a nice way. They're able to overlook what they need for others. And children see this, right?
Right.
When they see, for example, my mom, she was hungry, but she still shared her food with me, for example.
Right.
Or, for example, my dad was tired, but still, when I asked for something, he went to get it for me.
Right.
They might not say it in their words, but they understand. Exactly. They understand it. The image remains in their mind, right?
Observing.
And as they grow up, right, and if circumstances come in society, whether when they go to school, for instance, or they go to mosque, for instance, and times of conflict arise, or a situation arises where they have to show sacrifice, they have to show respect, they have to show patience. What happens is that because they've seen that in their parents, they're much easier to then apply it and to show these things. And this is why, first and foremost, when we talk about upbringing in this way, is that parents should show it towards their children.
Right.
It's completely opposite to telling them what to do. See, you have one such situation where a child needs something, for example, and he asks his dad, and dad tells him, go get it yourself, right? Or right now I'm too busy, my work comes first, right? I don't have time for you right now. I have to do what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
Or they help the child, but with 100 words of minnat, 100 words of you're indebted to me, and I had so much to do, yet I sacrificed everything for you, and reminding him of everything they did for him, basically.
Right.
When children see this, right, they feel at that point they feel humiliated. They don't feel a sense of respect. They don't feel a sense of importance within themselves.
Even if you left your work for them, even if you did.
Exactly, because the words that you use, the lack of love and respect that you showed, all of this brings about a sense of lack of self-respect,
right,
lack of self-importance. And
right,
then when it comes for them to then show those traits, those important traits, what happens is that they are unable to do this because... One, they've got this image in their minds of their parents how they behaved, and also within themselves they don't have any self respect, and therefore they're very easier to go on the side of conflict, aggression, and selfishness.
So the key point is lead by example yourself, because children learn more by observing than listening to you. Thank you so much, Brother Mikdad, for being with us and helping us with those beautiful tips on Islamic upbringing. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also listen to our programs again on our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/gn. Go to the tab COI, Call of Islam, and you'll find an archive of our programs there. Well, you can also find us on the social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all.